So we're going to look this morning at a Christmas journey. Of course, that means a journey to Bethlehem. And I'm speaking here sort of metaphorically, not literally. We're going to take this journey, another step, as it were, on this journey to Bethlehem. And I'm sure you realize that life is a journey, yet unfinished. Sometimes we think of it that way, like we're going through life on this pilgrimage, this journey. It truly is. And it's not finished until God calls us home. And so we have an unfinished task to do in that journey. So we're going to look at three steps on that journey that the shepherds took. We're looking at the shepherds. You may recall, if you weren't here, you don't recall. But if you were here, I trust you'll recall that we've looked at Joseph and Mary on their journey to Bethlehem, lessons that we can learn from each one of them. That's why God has given us the Bible, that we might learn. And the shepherds, I wish we had names for the shepherds, but we don't even know how many there were. But they're one of the many unnamed people in the Bible who nevertheless had faith, and God blessed that faith. They took the steps that showed that they had faith. I see faith here in what the shepherds did. And we've always wondered, well, why did God announce this to such lowly people as the shepherds? I think it was probably because they were humble enough to receive it. And they didn't have a lot of the hang-ups that, you know, maybe the more urban people had, the more educated people. It's unfortunate, isn't it, that sometimes the more sophisticated we become, often the more unresponsive to God's word. So we're going to put the microscope, as it were, on the shepherds this morning and find out what we can learn from these shepherds. Well, the scripture says there were shepherds keeping watch over their field by night. This is in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were terrified. Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings, the angel said. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And so that was the message that they listened to. It's really the same message that we listen to every year, isn't it? I think even people who have never made a faith commitment to Jesus Christ are familiar with these words because they hear them at the Christmas season. But just hearing isn't always listening, is it? We have this phenomenon more among the male species, I'm told, of selective hearing. You know, we hear things selectively. We hear what we want to hear, and then the rest just kind of goes out, I guess, the other side. But they really listened, the shepherds did. They listened with reverence. They were afraid. And I think that fear was more than just fear of an unknown phenomenon, UFO or whatever they, you know, people today might have thought that was up there in the sky. I think it was more of a reverential awe because they realized how great God was, living out in the fields there, and they were close to nature, the nature that God had created. Now, I'm not one of those who advocates going out to nature and, you know, that being the sum total of our worship experience with God. I still think we need to come together to offer corporate worship to God together and fellowship with one another. Certainly Jesus set the example for us. But I do identify with that. We were, as you may know, our daughter is here, Melina, and Marlene and Melin and I went over to the East Coast, the East Southeast Coast. I forget the name of the area there. One of these days I'll learn to pronounce Hawaiian. But we climbed a hill there with there's a lighthouse there. Anyway, we just admired the handiwork of God. I mean, it's just breathtaking, awe-inspiring. God has put that around us, I believe, to show us how great He is, how great our Creator is. And so there was a reverence, I think, in these shepherds as they heard this message. I believe it's so important when we come to the Word of God that we realize that this comes from our great Creator. He has told us about Himself. He has told us about, not only told us about Himself, but He has come in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel, which means God with us. So there was reverence. There was a reliance. I think they showed a reliance, a faith, if you will, upon that word that they had heard. Now the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're wondering how you can strengthen your faith, I know we're on this health, you know, emphasis in our culture, trying to get more healthy, trying to shed a pound or two if we need to do that, or, you know, just to get stronger and more fit. Well, the Bible says that we have such an opportunity, and it comes by reading His Word. Our faith grows stronger. We can increase our faith by reading the Word, by hearing the Word. Now, they listened. Now, that's very important, listening to God. Listening, you know, God gave us two of these and only one of these, so shouldn't we do a little more listening, maybe twice as much as we do talking? Have you ever known anyone that talked twice as much as they listened? Well, maybe most of us. But they listened with reliance. That verse is Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I believe people today have become spiritually deaf to the angel's song. I think one of the things that's making its rounds on the internet is that the favorite Christmas songs of all time, and I think the top 19 have nothing to do with Christmas. But I think one of them, Little Drummer Boy, was the only spiritual song in that list. So doesn't that tell us something? Are we really listening to what Christmas should be all about? The birth of God's Son. The most momentous event in all of history. So they listened with reverence. They listened with reliance. They listened with a resonance. In other words, something resonated within them. As a result of that, they were decisive and they were determined, and they dispatched themselves to Bethlehem to see this thing that had happened, that the Lord had told them about. Now, does that not tell us that we ought to listen to God's Word, and then we ought to obey it? Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." I think we can learn a lot from the shepherds listening. They listened. Secondly, they looked. In verse 15, it says, "The shepherds said one to another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord has told us about.' And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger." So they looked. They wanted to see for themselves. I remember John, the Apostle John, writing in his first epistle how they had handled him. They had touched him. They knew that he was real, and that Jesus, he was talking about the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, he said in the Gospel of John. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God. Now, we can't go back literally to Bethlehem, I guess, unless you have a time machine. And I don't know of anybody that has a credible time machine that they could take them back in history. But in a sense, we can, because we have the record of God's Word. And we can examine the record. We can find out if what this says is really true. They had an experiential faith. They said, "Well, let's go to Bethlehem." Now, you might think, well, a shepherd, what else does he have to do? Well, I think they had a lot to do, frankly. I think they had responsibilities, and I'm not sure how they worked that all out. Maybe there was one of them that was an unbeliever, and they said, "Well, you don't want to go, so you take care of the sheep, and we're going to go." I don't know how God worked that out. But they went to Bethlehem. They looked. And they looked with motivation. Now, we have an expression, seeing is believing. But really, you can really turn that around and say believing is seeing. They had the faith to believe that there was a God, that there was a creator God. I think we could rightly assume that these were Jewish shepherds, that they had been taught the Word of God, but they were motivated. It gets back to knowing the Word of God and letting the Word of God minister to us and speak to us. Just start in one of the Gospels and read it through. If you haven't done that, Matthew or Luke have the birth narratives. You might want to start in one of those this year if you haven't read any of the Bible. But begin to read the Bible, and you'll find that your faith will begin to grow strong. It will resonate with you as it did with the shepherds. And it will motivate you to be obedient, to seek the Lord. Now, Jesus has come to us, but He does not force His way into our lives. We must invite Him to come in. That's what Revelation 3:20 says. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in, he said. But they looked with motivation. They looked with meditation. It says that they looked upon. They went and they saw. Really, the word translated saw really means to look upon or to view attentively, to contemplate, to meditate on. It says to me that we must give more Jesus more than just a casual or curious glance. And maybe sing about him once a year, or maybe think about him just a few times during the year. No, it means more than that. It means we think about what God did in sending his only begotten Son to become incarnate in human flesh and to live among us, dwell among us, our Emmanuel. So they looked with meditation, and they looked with, I made this word up, I'm sorry, marvelation. I think you know what that means. They marveled at him. They marveled at this one who was lying in the manger. I think it all gets back to that. They saw him in the manger. Well, it means more than just seeing. We can, I think, rightly assume that they marveled, because it comes out in their words. When they left there, it says they spread the word concerning what they had been told to them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. So there was a marvelation, if you will, in this looking. It all gets back to that, really, that idea of worship. That God has created us to be like him. He has created us in his image. And that image is really spiritual. It's not physical. God does not have a body. Jesus said God is a spirit. And they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But God took upon him human flesh in the person of Jesus. And it's really what this season is about. Worshiping Jesus. Honoring him. This is his birthday, after all. Shouldn't the person whose birthday it is be the one that's honored? I think we would all agree that's the way it should be. And they listened, they looked, and then they left. Now it's obvious why the shepherds did not stick around. They had work to do. Although I'm not sure that they went back to their work. They may not have that night because they had so much to tell. But maybe they went through the fields as they went back to the shepherd fold. And they had other shepherds, I'm sure, that they knew. Family members, perhaps along the way, perhaps family in Bethlehem itself. But after they had seen Jesus, they didn't just stick around there. And it reminds me of Peter and James and John with Jesus up on the mountain. You may remember that, how Jesus took Peter and James and John up on the mountaintop, and they had this experience where Jesus was transfigured in their presence. I believe that they saw him for who he really is, the eternal Son of God. And they worshiped him. And Peter was never at a lack for words. And he had a solution to keeping this experience that they had. He said, let's make three tabernacles here. And let's worship here. And let's worship you over here. And then let's build one for Moses and Elijah as well. Do you see the problem with that? I think we can. That Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And God came down. It's a wonder that a bolt of lightning didn't come down and zap Peter. But a voice came out of that cloud and said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him, or hear him. But they left. They left with purpose. Now I think we would all, sometimes we'd like to just stay, in our worship experience and can maybe have this constantly through the week. Take the church with us. I don't know if that's even possible. Well, it's not possible to take the building. We certainly can still remain in fellowship with each other, pray for one another, and even talk to one another, communicate, and as we should. But ultimately, we have to leave that mountaintop experience. I don't know whether you've had the experience. I would say definitely you've had the experience, as I have, of having kind of a letdown after Christmas. Why? Because it's such a high point of the year for a Christian. But it's really what we must do. We have work to do. We have service for our Lord to do. And so they left. They left, though, with purpose. They went back to their friends and relatives, and they didn't just talk about peace on earth and the brotherhood of man and sing, hum a few bars of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, which they didn't have at that time. But no, they talked about the child that they had seen. Isn't that what it says here? It says that they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all that heard were amazed at what the shepherds had said, had told them. And why was that? Well, it wasn't because so much of the phenomenon that they saw in the sky. I'm not sure that they even said a lot about that. But what they talked about was this child that was born in the manger. I believe there was something about him that they just knew as they looked into his face that here was truly the perfect child. Now, I know all of us think we have the perfect child, usually for about the first day or two. And then reality begins to set in. And, I mean, because we are all infected with that thing the Bible calls sin. But they left with praise. They left with this praise on their lips. They were telling people about this child. Now, praise isn't just saying praise the Lord. Or it isn't just having this kind of giddy, attitude toward life, and where nothing seems to faze us. We just have that pasted on smile. No, that's not really worth much, frankly. But praise, telling people about what God has done, telling people how wonderful Jesus is to you, telling people how He has forgiven you your sins, and how God sent this one into the world to show us what He is like. And then, ultimately, there is the cross and the empty tomb to tell about, and how He ascended back to heaven and will come again someday. Now, we don't have to share all that, of course. But if Jesus is real to you, you love Him, you know He's forgiven you all your sins, that's enough to tell others about Him and to praise Him to others. The Bible says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, they obviously left with power. People wondered as they heard. And I wonder, do we make people wonder? Do we make people kind of scratch their heads and wonder, well, what's different about that Christian? Why do they seem to have this joy that isn't just a forced joy? It's not a forced smile. It's not a teeth-whitening smile necessarily. But it's a joy that comes from within, a peace that passes all understanding. They wondered as they heard, have you been told? And sometimes we don't like being told, but we have this message that God has given to us. This same message that God gave to the shepherds, He has given to us. And they listened, they looked, and they left. So life is a journey not yet finished. We have that journey to fulfill. May we learn from the shepherd's journey to Bethlehem how they listened, how they looked, and how they left.